Today on Talking Business, we have Kathy Young, who is the coordinator of the Newark Valley Community Connection. Kathy, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's awesome because I know we've talked about doing podcasts and we've talked about having a community center and we've talked about a lot of things. And it seems like we're checking a lot of boxes and hitting a lot of milestones.
I agree. I didn't think that we'd, I wasn't sure that we would make it this far. So I'm happy that we've been able to come together and get this off the ground and going.
Yeah, I want to take everyone back to August of 2023. It was like, even before then, because we were all both kind of emerging prior to August, but like in the springtime, one of the local people here put me in contact with you because you were looking to do some things with the community center. I was looking to do some things with the chamber, and they mentioned that we should sit down and talk, and we did. And then a few months later, we had the opening event of the community center was trivia.
It right? was pasta dinner.
It wasn't a pasta
it
dinner.
It was pasta dinner in August, and that was actually your suggestion.
A pasta dinner, and then we did a trivia a little bit after. And I just remember it was so nerve-wracking because this place was packed.
It was.
With people.
It was.
And I didn't know how to do trivia. I was just up
there. You were learning on the fly.
I was learning and then we were selling 50-50 tickets and that was fun.
Yeah.
It was a good night.
It was. That was a fun night and I think that really powered me up, mm-hmm. you know, just the community support.
Yeah.
To keep going and have a little faith that this would work.
Well, yeah, because I remember in the early going, it was like you were telling people what you were going to do, and there was a lot of oh, good luck with that. It's not going to work.
Yep.
Nothing ever works in Newark Valley or Northern Tioga. But that's not the case. And I think what happens with people is they don't persevere enough and give it enough time to flourish.
I think you're right. I think that, you know, one of my biggest frustrations, I love Newark Valley. I love living here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll preface it with that. Mm-hmm. I moved from Cleveland, Ohio to here, and I fell in love with this place. And when people kind of talk negatively about the area, it frustrates me because I think it's a really great community. And I know people have moved here just because they like the community here. And that was a little frustrating to hear the negative feedback.
I remember you were like, oh, no, I don't want to hear it. And I'm like, yeah, that's good because
it made me work harder.
Yeah. And I was like, let that be the fuel.
Yeah.
From growing up, I had a coach who told me and all of his athletes, prove them wrong.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's cool. So can you just take us through a little bit about, there was hoops to jump through to kind of get reestablished here as a 501c3 nonprofit organization.
Yep.
And so can you just kind of explain to everybody, because when you drive by, you look and you're like, oh, that's a church.
Right.
But we're not you're not a church anymore.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
So can you explain to everybody what that transition process is?
The church was looking to sell the buildings.
Okay.
Because there were very few members. It's expensive to just maintain and keep up these two buildings, and the congregation was older, very few members. They needed a new roof in this building. And that was the kickoff, was they couldn't afford a new roof. And so they were going to put it up for sale. And the first couple of interested buyers talked about converting both of the buildings into apartments, which pretty much really upset the people that were still here in the church.
Struck a nerve.
And, you know, the congregation was founded in 1803. It was the first church in the area. And so there was discussion amongst the members, and they decided that they would donate the community, or they would donate the buildings back to the community if a 501c3 was created that they could donate it to, because that's the requirement. I mean, you could sell it, but if they were going to donate it, it had to be to a 501c3. So that's where I kind of came in, and I tried to reach out to a few lawyers that I had worked with in the past and really didn't get anywhere. Lawyers, they do pro bono work, but this wasn't one of the projects they wanted to take on. And then they also feel guilty charging nonprofits. So I was kind of going around in circles trying to find an attorney. And so I just started researching how to do it. And it took a while, but put the application in and wrote up the mission statement. The beginning board members, the founding board members, there were three of them. And we just submitted it and crossed our fingers to the IRS. We submitted it to the IRS and crossed our fingers, and it came back approved. So that was
nice.
Great.
Yeah. So as a 501c3, there's like certain rules and whatnot, but for your like to bring in funds, right?
Yes.
So like, what is your procedure for, because we'll talk about your events and everything, but financially it's been tough because you guys are just getting, you're on your own now that you're not from the supporting of the church, getting
Correct.
Support of the church.
Correct.
So you've been raising funds typically just, you know, asking what a requested donation or,
Right.
So can you talk about a little bit about what your guys' plan has been since you took over, and, you know, what kinds of things have you been doing and strategically, you know, balancing the financial side and the making sure we're doing things in the community to what you are allowed to talk about,
right,
I guess.
Because
it's a very stressful thing that community, you know, other organizations might be going through, and I think that they could probably relate. And if you had tips for other local nonprofit organizations that were looking to start, you know, what would you maybe recommend?
I would recommend that they first take a look at the information that is on the IRS website for 501c3s and what the requirements are. And also, I've met with a couple of other organizations in the area that are also trying to become 501c3s, and I've shared some links online that are helpful, so that you don't fall into some of the pitfalls.
Yeah.
There's requirements for, if you're a nonprofit, there's actually requirements for how much you can raise through events and then how much you're supported by donations. There's different percentage requirements. And if you bring in over $50,000 per year, which that would be nice, there's additional reporting requirements to the IRS that you have to adhere to.
Okay.
So there are helpful websites out there. I don't have them off the top of my head, but you know, I can give that to you, and you can share it in the links if you wanted to.
Okay. Awesome. So what kind of events are we working on these days at the community center?
So our big event coming up this weekend on the 24th and 25th is our Haunted Halls Halloween.
Okay.
And it's from 5 to 8 on Friday and Saturday, 5 to 8 p.m. And our theme this year is Twisted Fairy Tales. So we have some scary spinoffs of Hansel and Gretel and Alice in Wonderland and a couple other things. I will say that the beginning of our haunted halls, the first hallway, is very child-friendly, shouldn't be scary at all for the little ones. And then they can come right up the steps and from that first hallway and get some candy and a hot dog and maybe play some games up here while the last, the next section and the last section are geared towards older kids and adults.
Gotcha. So what do you think is different? Cause you did the haunted halls last year. So what do you think, has changed from last year's, event that you had? Or,
well, we have more volunteers that nice. Are helping to decorate, and actually some of the volunteers have taken one of the fairy tales in several of the rooms and made it their own and decorated it themselves. And we have more actors. We have some people from Owego that had been acting at Boo at the Zoo. They're going to be coming in and helping out. And it's just a little bit more elaborate than last year.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. I'm sure everyone's excited to come in because the Halloween time is always such a fun time, especially in Northern Tioga, the fall, you know, going to the corn maze or.
Yes. Yes.
It just paints the perfect picture and vibe for Halloween activities and fall activities. So you've got that coming up. What else do you guys have planned over the next couple months through the end of the year?
Well, we have on the 29th of October, we have a community ham dinner, and that's a complimentary dinner for the community. We're going to be having some speakers here talk about Medicare and Social Security, some of the changes that might be coming out and impacting different older individuals. And we're also asking the community to just come out, enjoy the dinner, listen to the what's being presented. And also we'd like to hear ideas from the community about what they'd like to see here as well on that day, on October 29th. And then our next event is our Veterans Lunch.
Okay.
So we have Monday luncheons, the second Monday of every month.
Mm-hmm.
And in November, it'll be November 10th, so it's the day before Veterans Day. But veterans eat free. Mm-hmm. It's a complimentary lunch for them. And we're going to have Joe Onofrio here, who is an avid area local fisherman, very successful. He has his own business as well as a fisherman guide, I guess that's what you call it. Yep. He'll be talking about tips that he has for grabbing the biggest muskies in the area.
That's awesome.
So I thought that people would really enjoy his presentation.
Yeah, I'll have to come to that because I could use some tips for being out there fishing. Awesome. So you were saying that you were asking for some feedback from the community on some ideas.
Yep.
And we had a gentleman on a little while ago, Matt White, you know who he is. We were kind of talking a little bit about the community development. And I feel like community development kind of ties in with business development because in order for businesses to flourish, you need the population to support the businesses, right? And
definitely,
I think a lot what you're doing here at the community center is definitely checking a box toward attracting families and attracting people to start their lives here. What kinds of ideas or any new ideas have you guys had amongst your board, amongst people in the community that maybe you're kind of like is maybe on the back burner or is like maybe 3 or 4 years out from maybe happening? But what kind of, do you have any new projects or ideas that you're looking
at? I will say that one of our projects that it's not on the back burner, it's on the front burner.
Sure. Yeah.
But we're still working through it is we're not just a community center.
Okay.
Our goal is to create spaces for people to gather both inside and outside in outdoor recreation. And a subcommittee of ours is the biking committee.
Mm.
And we're working towards creating mountain biking trails in the area. And at this point, we've gotten feedback from the residences. It would be a public-private partnership with landowners and the school district.
Okay.
Using the school district property at the high school and also at Alexander Pond, which is up behind the middle school, for people that don't know. and trying to connect different area state lands to the Trout Ponds, which is a village park, Alexander Pond, and running the bike trails up through that. And we feel our organization is about bringing people together, creating community, reducing isolation, but also working hand in hand with the chamber to kind of lift up and bring more people to the area and make them aware. So we feel like the mountain bike trails would make a really big impact. We've seen that in other areas in New York State and throughout New England.
Yeah, that I believe that would attract, you know, a lot of tourism to the area for sure.
Yeah.
So you guys have made some progress on that then, and things look like they're tracking?
Yes, we have. We're still looking for funding, working on funding for that, but we've had really great positive discussions with the school district and with landowners that are in the area that are willing to have that public-private partnership. It would be similar to like snowmobile trails.
Yeah.
There wouldn't be any motorized vehicles on it. Just for biking. But we're making good progress with that and really appreciate the subcommittee that's working on that. They're working really hard on that. Some of the other things that we're working on, we do have a lot of creative workshops. We have Sterling Silver expert, Sterling Silver jewelry expert, that helps lead some of the jewelry workshops. We've had open paint nights and stained glass.
And you guys do line dancing.
And we do. Thank you for reminding me. I'm going through.
You're going through, and I'm sorry that I just wing it on these things. I don't ever, you know, like if I have some of my other directors on, they'll have questions, and I'm just over here throwing stuff.
Oh, no, that's great. That's great.
But the line dancing.
Yeah.
That seems like it's been successful.
Yeah, it's fun. You know, it's interesting when you talk about creating opportunity in the area. I'll say that we get people from all over. Cincinnatus.
Sure.
Elmira. You know, a pretty broad reach there of people that come here to the community center to do the different events. Line dancing is one of them. The Sterling Silver Workshops, like I said, that's a really big event that people find super interesting. Our murder mystery dinners.
Oh, yeah. I remember I wanted to go to that. The one last year you had it last spring. Was it last spring?
It was in February.
It was February.
We sold out very quickly, and it was a terrible snowstorm that day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was predicted to be, you know, 1 to 3 inches, no big deal.
Always.
So.
And then I don't know what it was like with Newark Valley this last year for precipitation, but those storm systems just stood right over you guys.
Yes. Yep. Speaking of storm systems, that's one of the other things that I wanted to mention is that we are also recovering from that flash flooding that happened in July.
Yeah. That was like, I felt like you guys had built up so much momentum. And it was like it kind of felt like you guys were met with a true test. Like, are you really serious about this? Because that was like a punch in the mouth for sure.
That was tough.
It was awful.
It was.
And not just for you, but just the entire community. And I think it's a testament to our community as to like how strong, tight knit we are when we lean on each other during those times, because it wasn't reported as like a FEMA type event. So
no,
FEMA wouldn't step in to help people, I don't think. I could be wrong.
No, it was not. It was not reported. I believe that our local politicians did petition to try and get the state to declare it, but it was such a small, isolated area that was impacted that I'm not sure that the dollar amounts added up to what was required to be a disaster.
It's crazy,
area.
Though, because people lost their homes and
right.
And it's like, are you kidding me? It's just terrible. But I mean, I'm glad you guys survived it. And just some, I know I was here scooping mud out of the basement yes. with some people. That mud gets heavy.
That was rough.
And it was so humid out that day too. Like the hot, it's like we got the storm system and then the heat and humidity. So cleaning up afterwards was like,
right.
You know, heat stroke from shoveling mud and stuff. It's great. But so you guys recovered from that, obviously, because the haunted halls look great downstairs.
Yeah, it took a while. You know, we pumped out the water first. Mm-hmm. First thing you got to do is pump it out as fast sure. as you can. I did know that from where I used to work.
Right.
But then scraping that mud out after it dried, that was a challenge. And in speaking to another neighbor in the area, we talked about if, hopefully it doesn't happen again, but knock most likely it will.
Yeah.
If it happens again, of renting, all of us going in and renting a pump together mm-hmm. so that we could pump the mud and the water out at the same time, yeah. which would make it a lot easier. So we were really thankful for the donations. A lot of donations came in mm-hmm. to help us recover from that.
Yeah, and I think they had a thing at the fire station. Someone did some sort of
fundraiser. The community, just the community came together and had a fundraiser at the fire station, and they raised, you know, a good sum of money. I think they raised over $8,000 to be split amongst the homeowners that had
been affected,
been impacted by it. Yep.
Well, hopefully more positive things on the horizon to come, because you know, you're going to have to weather storms and prove your resilience, you know, I think. And it's been a long, it feels like it's been a long 2 to 3 years in the early going. It just amazes me how much this, you know, the community center has grown and, you know, how many people show up to lunch, Monday lunch, right? I think you're averaging like 15 to 20 people.
Yeah. You know, sometimes at that lap, I would say we had Edna Zalowski here from the Historical Society, and we had, I think, 45 people here to hear about UFOs.
He's so got the good
the
stories.
The paranormal
and
UFOs are a big draw. We'll probably be having another speaker on that. One of our volunteers for the Haunted Halls does paranormal investigations.
Ooh.
Actually, two of them do, and they did not know each other until they met here volunteering at Haunted Halls. So
that's awesome.
I think that's going to be another event that we host because people are really into that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that it's good to keep doing what we're doing. And I think just over time, things will start to build and snowball.
I think so. You know, I want to mention two other big events that we have coming up. On November 29th, we're going to be having the Madrigal Choir from Binghamton here.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. We'll be having a brunch at noon, and then they're going to be singing at 2. And I know that they are, they're very, very good, and they're very popular. They have a concert in Binghamton. I'm not sure what the date is, but then that same concert they're bringing here on November 29th. And then, of course, for the holidays on December 6th is Holiday Magic that the Historical Society and the Chamber and the Community Connection are going to be hosting.
Right.
So
yeah, that all comes very quickly.
It does. We're going to be starting to set up for that after Haunted Halls.
I think one thing to kind of focus on just as far as community events goes, and I think Matt White touched on this really well, anyone can have an event where you have like vendors and but what are we doing to get people to drive 20 minutes, 30 minutes, take the time? And I think we have to make our events here and the community more a little bit more, you know, unique and play to our strong suit of like our geography, right? So the mountain biking is something that's really cool that we're working on. He made it's a good point, and it's a challenge, but I think it's a good challenge for the organizations in the community to come together and figure out like what's one thing we can do without spending a ton of money that's different.
That's the key.
That's the key, the money part.
The money, yep.
And what, because for our community event each year, what can we do that's different? That's like, oh, I'm not going to go to the Broome County Fair that day. I'm going to go to Summerfest or to the tree lighting because that's just different. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, we get the hayride thing going in the village. That's really cool for holiday magic. But for some of the other events that go on that we try to, you know, put the spotlight on our community to try and it's a way of advertising the community, right? Having events.
Right.
So what are our strengths? What are the strong suits and how do we put those on display? Right. I think that that's like for the chamber from the community engagement side, like that's kind of a area that maybe we should look a little bit more.
I think one of our unique strengths, at least right here in Northern Tioga, is the Amish population.
Yeah. We do have a huge population.
And they have a lot of services that they offer and unique, you know, flowers and gardening and all of the different wood products that they have here.
Yeah.
Is interesting.
No, definitely. Definitely. So something to think about.
Yeah.
Something for us to put our heads together on. We'll leave this with one more question. We'll make it a fun one. If you and Brian had to spend the rest of your life on an island and you had to read one book and you could only bring one book with you and eat one food and have one drink.
Oh man.
I guess we'll throw one more thing. Fourth thing, something else to do for fun.
We have to share that book?
You don't have to share it. No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
You have to read it to each other. No, I'm just kidding. four things. So favorite food or food you would bring that you'd have to eat for the rest of your life. A drink that you would drink for the rest of your life, assuming that you can't filter the water from the ocean.
Coffee.
Okay. You would drink coffee? That's a quick, good way to dehydrate. Okay. So what about the food? What would you eat?
Food.
What could you eat? Pretend it's already prepared.
Pretend it's already prepared. Chicken paprikash.
What? what is that?
It's chicken and dumplings in a sour cream sauce.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I love that stuff.
Okay.
It's really, I'm assuming that I won't get impacted health-wise by whatever it is I'm choosing because it's really, really bad for you.
Gotcha. What book would you read?
What book would I read? I think it'd have to be a long one so that by the time I got to the end, I forgot about the beginning.
Yeah.
War and Peace.
Okay. Anything else that you would bring for fun, or is the book good enough?
Probably a game. Probably chess.
Chess?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, since Brian's not here, and Brian is her husband for anyone here that doesn't know, what would Brian... Let's pretend you have to pick for Brian.
Okay. All right.
And you don't want to make him upset because it's the rest of your life on an island. So no pressure.
So he'd be coffee too.
He'd be coffee.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Definitely coffee. And venison.
Okay. Loins.
Whatever.
Back straps.
Yep.
Yeah. Just the back straps.
Just
the,
hack
the
it
best
off.
Part.
And, yep.
Okay. Okay. So you got venison, coffee. Book.
Book. Something by Clive Cussler. He likes him.
All right. I don't know him. So
oh, okay.
Whatever, anything. Well, he can just pick, you know, he can have it Amazon drop shipped when he gets
that's
there
right,
to the island.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
And then
food?
For the last thing is fun.
Fun.
So fun was, food was venison.
Oh, so yeah. Food was
hopefully
venison.
There's deer on the island. So yeah. I would say probably his bow or something.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, so if there are deer on the island, he can have venison. And
there you
just go.
Just go
get it himself.
Yeah, and a target. He likes to target shoot.
Okay.
So
all right.
Yeah, he's always doing like calculations of wind speed and grain of bullets and how far they're going to go and what the drop is going to be. And he tells me, and I just nod my head.
Or would he rather bring his fishing pole to fish out of the ocean?
That's a good point.
I would probably lean towards the fishing pole.
Yeah, because that'd be entertaining, and
he could do that.
He'd run out of bullets,
but you couldn't eat the fish though.
Why?
Because that it's a, well.
Oh.
Well, okay. Maybe you can. We can make exceptions on that.
Okay.
All right. Well, it's been great talking with you today, Kathy. And if someone wanted to, one, go on a website to make a donation, anyone who's not living locally in the area who could do it in person, is there a website?
Yep. It's newarkvalleycc.com.
Okay.
And there's a nice little donate button that blinks when get online.
So all of the Newark Valley alumni listening to this podcast, you know, give back to your community because we're starting to do some big things around here. So it's been, again, fun talking with you, Kathy. We're looking forward to this weekend, the Haunted Halls.
Yes.
Friday and Saturday.
Yep.
All right.